That's obviously where I'm going, and it'd be nice to hear from you guys what some of your thinking is, and then I know there's some people in the room have various concerns about, shall we say, the most efficient way to go down that path without making it impossible to support current sites and things like that, and so it's just a backward compatibility and how we move forward. I'm curious about, here let's say .learn. .learn, there's some real obvious problems with .learn right now. One of them is that it kind of takes over your entire site. It's not modular at all. It's glued into this, instead of basically being a set of things that we put together into a framework, it's basically, basically takes everything over, okay? And at some point, we need to break that. We need to make this, when .learn was first being proposed, what I had asked was that essentially .learn be in some sense a extension, if you will, of basically a subsite, right? Because we already had the subsiting mechanism for breaking groups out into their own little worlds within an OpenACS installation, and a lot of tools, groups, and everything is already in subsite. Well, OpenForce, for a variety of reasons, which I suspect actually were due to lack of funding and a very tight schedule, decided to just really glue everything into this one package, and it's not really something that breaks out into separate pieces easily. I can't use the SCORM engine outside of .learn, for instance, and when you have packages like that, in my mind, they're fundamentally broken, right? I mean, we shouldn't have those kind of dependencies. But anyway, so is there anything else anybody else wants to talk about?
Do you want to talk about GCMS?
Okay, less than the .learn, but then we have some more general OpenACS stuff people want to talk about. GCMS would be one. This is the Greenpeace content management system, and Lee XR has done some work on making it work outside the Greenpeace environment. I was going to write something down. This is something we probably don't want to talk about. But this is always the elephant in the room, as far as I'm concerned. If you're familiar with that phrase, I don't know people who aren't English speakers, but the elephant in the room is that thing that's sitting in the room and nobody ever talks about. But it takes up most of the room. And, this is still costing us 25-30% of our effort to support. There are things that people are working on that don't support Oracle, and that's going to become more and more true. But I think for now, after the last attempt to raise that issue caused a bunch of anger in the community, for right now, I think that's off the table. But Dave, I don't know if you have strong feelings about that.
I think after we had the discussion, we found out that there were people who were actually using it.
They just don't help.
No, the people who are using Oracle do help.
They said they'll help if we stop supporting it.
No, I'm talking about, in Madrid, they integrate the unit uses.
Yes, but she's switched, basically, positions. So yeah. She is no longer...
The unit is still on the record.
Exactly, right.
And I was the one that was in charge to make the... to test on the record, mm-hmm. and...
Do some bug fixing.
And they were willing to share some support.
Quest. Okay.
The guy who was posting Mervin.
Yes.
Fodor,
yeah.
He's
the people
one of the owners.
Yes.
And he offered to.
They provide a server and things.
I don't know if they are willing to. I think he did in the message. I'm just bringing it into your attention.
We did have offers of servers, but in particular, like any new stuff we do, let's say we basically do some stuff like the ExoTickle stuff and service contract stuff, and let's say we basically go down a path that involves changing the data model. Basically right now, it's like there's nobody...
Has to do it or fund the work. I understand.
It's probably off the table.
Yeah, because that's going to take up the whole time.
Is there anything else anybody feels compelled to talk about? So, Jesus?
Yes.
That's what you start.
Well, I have a presentation here, but I can comment more or less what is the EU forum project about. In any case, just to wrap up, it's a very big project with 10 million euros funding. And there are 13 partners involved in the project. UNED is one of the more, probably the more important participant in the project, and also we are in charge of the scientific coordination of the project. The project goals are more or less as follows. We are supposed to develop an architecture of services for people with disabilities at higher education level. We are going to take into account the services that are already implemented in different universities and the ones that should be there, of course. Apart from that, the project comes with the very, I think, important people in the field, like, for instance, the people from the Fraunhofer Institute of Technology. I don't know if you know them. Carlos Velasco sounds familiar to you. I thought that perhaps Gustav knows. No? Okay. And Martin Cooper, for instance, as you know, he has been involved in the development of the IMS ACLI specification. So it's a project very much related to the use of the standards very logically, very substantively. Okay. So our idea is initially to interoperate with two learning platforms, DotLearn and Moodle, in parallel. So the services we are going to develop should cover both implementations. In this respect, it's very important for the project what we have attended this afternoon, the work by Stefan is critical since the project is supposed to use web services for the architecture. So we depend very much on the development that are more or less here. Let me also insist that we are going to participate very closely to you in the DotLearn community, much more than before, at least myself.
Okay, yeah.
And our idea is to provide manpower, basically.
Uh-huh.
And we are also interested in if anyone wants to enjoy the Madrid weather for a while, we can offer a position there for a period. We can discuss with one interested, but we need another technical guy involved in the project, and we will be pleased if someone is interested. Okay. Let me also tell you what I have discovered so far from the disability field. They are very demanding people, very, very much. And they are very strong in their arguments. For instance, they have already raised problems with the current version of the platform,
right, yes.
And we are trying to solve them, but they are against on using the platform if the problems are still there. So we have to take that into account because it's a different approach.
Right.
Let me insist also on a particular thing that I think is a very good, I mean, it's a marketing sign that we can take advantage of, which is to be one of the first learning management systems fully accessible. And in fact, if we develop services that interoperate with this platform, it's going to be the first one. And if we use the very architecture of DotLearn and of the ACS, okay, to develop new services, it's going to be a key issue. So we are more or less trying to focus very much on what we have to develop in the project in the .NET community, and OpenACS community. But let me tell you that for the rest of the partners, it's very important to be open, not dependent on the technology. That's why web services and so
on. So web services and standards,
exactly,
more than platform,
exactly,
is actually
the user standards, very simply. They enforce us to commit with this approach.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is basically to develop an architecture of services for them. And we are going to use learning design as much as possible, but when needed, because learning design is just one option that we can more or less apply in different phases of the development. For instance, we have to take into account the pedagogy and the psychological issues that are involved, and in order to let them to be specified in a more extensible way, I propose in the project to use LD. And there will be other options. And in fact, since in the project the gurus from the different standards are involved, many of them have already introduced arguments regarding is better IMS LD or is enough with IMS CP, or, you know, is their field. So, but they are very much involved.
Okay, I think speaking as somebody from the United States, the United States is lagging when it comes to legislation that requires accessibility for websites. I mean, there's some stuff there in our Americans with Disability Act, but thus far in this country, most of the focus has been on physical infrastructure, so buildings with, you know, basically access to buildings and, you know, public transport and stuff like that. So I think it's really important that...
You have also the 508? No. Rehabilitation like the British.
But when it comes to things like education stuff, I mean, a lot more is pushed down to the state level.
I see.
And so at the federal level, you typically, particularly in the education field thus far, a lot has been pushed down to the state level.
I see.
So, so it's good. I mean, this spring, when we first started talking about accessibility seriously, when I took over doing the release for .learn, and that was really the first time we really had had serious discussions about accessibility in the .learn community. So I know we didn't get as much done as you would have hoped that we would have gotten done in the time frame, but that was really the first effort that we had really made to comply with accessibility standards. And so for myself, and I'm sure this is true of Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, and the other developers here in the United States, there's still a learning curve for us in terms of what is needed, which is, you know, why Olga's presentation yesterday, you know, the specific bugs and talking about for the 2.0 compliance stuff, how, you know, frames can be used if they're done correctly and stuff. I mean, these are technical details which you guys know a lot more about than we do. So I know you're on the technical leadership committee for .learn, so you know, Emma should be a strong voice then for accessibility in that group, because at times it may appear that we're hesitant to put the effort into accessibility stuff, but you have to understand that for us it's more of a learning curve. You know, I don't know myself what is needed unless I'm told. Okay. And then there's the funding issue. You have people who can help. There's nobody here who funds me or Dave to do accessibility work at this point, because it doesn't come up. I mean, with my clients, it doesn't come up with Dave's clients. I don't think it comes up with thus far. Now, if we got .learn into Gallaudet, the school for the deaf in Washington, D.C., that would change very quickly.
Well, my vision is that at least in Europe, no? And in particular in Spain, this is very valuable. I mean, they are looking for accessible platforms. They don't have it. They enforce us,
yes,
to provide them. So it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, well, I look at this as being very much like when we first started talking about doing localization. Okay, and for those of us doing business in the United States, you know, we don't intrinsically have any reason to worry about sites that are bilingual, whereas somebody in Canada, for instance, by law, they have to provide French and English side by side on their websites. And so immediately, if you do a project for a Canadian entity, you immediately have to deal with the multiple language issue. Okay, so the community came and said, for .learn to succeed, it basically has to be able to talk in the language of, basically where the school is working. And that push then came from the wider community outside the United States developers. And, I think it's obvious that we've embraced that. The toolkit is very much structured with localization in mind now. And I look at accessibility being the same kind of thing, that we just need to have that mindset, and we need to be taught, and we also need technical help. And you have 4 technical people now, is that?
We are going to have, 4, because the rest are more or less non-technical issues.
Not yet.
But I mean, you will.
They are the 2 of them. They are already 3 of them. Okay.
3. Yes.
Yeah. When we go back, Alejandro is there also.
No technical.
It's more technical.
Not so
technical. The only technical people is Emma.
Okay.
But I'm not invited.
Nobody wants to be technical here.
I don't want to be the only one.
There are going to be 4 of them, and there is another project called Alpu. Accessible Learning Platform for Europe, which is going to start next month in the same with the same idea,
yes,
objectives and so forth. So.
Yeah. Anybody else? Comments? Beyond accessibility, web services, standards, you're mostly talking about importing and exporting data then into .learn, I assume, when you've got the interchange of data, like Swarm, but other kinds of data.
Yeah.
Okay. Accessibility obviously impacts the toolkit at a very basic level. Certainly the way we structure our templates and things.
Exactly.
What else in this 4-year project do you think impacts?
No, that's all.
That's it, you think?
For the moment, I don't
know. Okay.
What did you say?
That's all.
That's all.
That's all.
As far as the accessibility issues, what kind
probably,
of...
Probably .folio.
I'm sorry?
.folio, very much. E-portfolios.
Yeah, oh, yes.
At least a particular package.
Yes, right. As far as the accessibility goals, what kind of time frame, schedule, deadline?
Olga can more or less present you.
For accessibility, we need in 4 months to have an accessibility. In 4 months?
Four months.
For the Alpe project, we need to have a demo of the platform with the accessibility problem solved. To show people working with assistive devices using the platform.
What means using the platform? Do they have some kind of a task list?
Yes, they are going to use score-based courses. And they should be able to use a screen reader in 4 months.
In 4 months. Yeah.
4 months, okay.
Just as the text and the attempt of the tracking.
Okay.
But yeah. The bugs that they think, complex.
Well, I'm sure that with more, there's going to be more issues that are going to come up, too, in the next 4 months. That list is, so far, accessibility testing, it's all been you, Olga, right? You haven't done a lot of testing with real users.
Just the analysis, the guidelines, and the code.
Just the checkup.
So there's going to be a lot more. I think what we need to, we can talk about this then in our technical meetings, .learn technical meetings, and also the consortium level, but it almost sounds like maybe we should have, after 2.2.1, we might be looking at a 2.2.2 that focuses exclusively on accessibility issues, or mostly on accessibility issues, to come out around January Alpha or something like that.
but not that. We have how many? 16 bugs in the bug tracker, but some of them are not one bug. It's a bug that affects
all sorts of templates.
Tools.
Yes,
yeah, that's
right.
So,
and you're working full time on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All of them are going to work full time.
That's good. You guys
know.
I don't know anybody else who's available to spend much time. You know, I mean, I can provide some coordination like I did for the last release, but I am starting a relatively large .learn project for a client in about 10 days, and that's going to keep me very busy for about 3 months. So, outside providing coordination, you know, for like the release process, I'm not going to be available. I know Dave's been very busy. You might have some. Yeah. That's also probably a pretty big deal in the UK. Your government sites, yes.
Yeah. I mean, we've spent a fair amount of time doing accessibility stuff on ours, but for us, most of the changes have been relatively small changes in templates, just fixing the markup mostly.
Right.
What we get asked time and again is, can we make the system only able to produce accessible markup, which is a much harder problem, and so far we haven't tackled that. But in terms of just making sure that the markup on the system is accessible, the other issue is the one, there's all those things that you can't check automatically, things like the contrast of colors and that kind of stuff. But again, you know, our clients all come to us with designers, and they say, you know, we want this designer to do our design. And we say to them, well, you know, we can integrate it if it has accessibility issues, which we've had people come back to us after we've integrated design and say, this isn't accessible. So, well, you need to get the designer to come up with an accessible design, and you have to get the design integrator to produce the accessible mark. But neither of those things are, in our case, they don't prevent the system from being accessible, so that's the only claim we make when the client's going to come to us with their own designs.
Okay, right. Yes. Yeah. So
certainly in the next 3-4 months we might have some availability for APIs.
So maybe we could talk you into dropping into a .learn meeting if we have one that focuses on accessibility.
Yeah.
Right. Another related issue is the one of the web services, because we are supposed to have the basic infrastructure. No?
Yeah.
In 7 months.
Well, first we have to provide the state of the art, or what is 16 architecture in OpenXJS, so we can show it with the possibilities that people have to intervene with LTC. And then we have to provide the architecture by the design of the architecture by eight months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that would be SOAP mostly, or I mean, what? How are you implementing your web services?
We have to be open to anything.
Exactly.
Okay.
So first, the approach is to know what we have in OpenACS right now, to offer that, and then we are asking for services to tell us how they are implemented, so we can see how to support it if it's not provided by OpenACS. So
right.
First, we want to know what we have in OpenACS.
Well, yeah, I mean, the efforts at web services so far in OpenACS have been pretty spotty.
Right,
and
United Way has something that there's spotty, a lot more on.
Spotty and pathetic.
Like Jade's working on United Way. I think they're working on something like an actual.
But they haven't given that back to us, though.
No, but I think you said that there is code we can get from that.
Okay, but also you guys have been working on. See, and this is actually, it almost goes to the next subject then, ExoTickle, and how can we actually start
that? I don't know what does it mean. But it's a problem of schedule, because we have to provide something in 9 months and 8 months, but we don't know now. So we will have to work on the 5.3, I think, because your work will go on trunk. No?
It's going to be included in the next version.
I mean, it's a question of is it included or not, but you can use it now as it is, and I think to be able to, I think in 1 month or so.
And 5.3 has it.
There's also already a concept that works based on the federated search that you have seen yesterday. It has already been implemented, and that's over this presentation that Stefan gave today.
But actually, do you have such a chance to choose what kind of services you want to provide via SOAP? Also, does it have a certain list of services you have to provide?
We have to develop the whole list. Have the user requirements.
One wonderful thing is for the user federated search there. I mean, simply it's based also on the SEN-IFSS standard, and it has already something which is already working.
So do we use our, does it not define already?
By federated search, the one party is the mediator, but the other party is exposing the contents of LORS repository. That's why I asked you whether you are using LORS or not. It has some issues with the session management there, because they are maintaining the sessions on shared variables and things like that, but these are things that can also. So if you are coming from a search direct into a storm resource or a resource that you have uploaded through an IMS package, then you get some problems with the session there. But I mean, the web services work perfect. It's only something that's inherent in the LORS package.
I assume that our work could affect what has been developed so far, and we are going to put some effort there.
We did some in earlier projects some work on learning services and try to figure out what people really want to need, need there, and it's rather involved issue. I mean, very often you have simple things as single sign-ons or multiple platforms. It's already something which is not so easy to achieve. And our goal was also to provide, for example, a forum or forum entries and letting people post on different places. But there you have no accepted standards. I mean, it's something which could be done certainly for two platforms like Moodle and .learn. But the standards are not really major in this respect.
I
think it's a simple question of the partners in the project, and I think what they want to have the interoperability between Moodle and .learn, therefore one has to focus on both sides, what could make sense here.
And in fact, it is foreseen in the parade.
Right, and in this space also, this valid search is quite good, because it's with interface to Moodle as well, therefore it's just really providing this.
So you already have, you're covering Moodle already.
There are two solutions for covering heterogeneous. One is this Moodle package, and the other one, you can just export an IMS package as a file, and then a zero script will post it.
Well, in the OpenACS tradition, you need at least five more ways to do it.
Right? We need a light version.
We need a light version and a heavy version.
It's an OpenACS tradition. I mean, you have 20 different variants for each package.
But I think a lot of people in the community would like to have, like, to see one robust framework for building web services, and that if you guys are focusing on that, I mean, that might actually, nobody else is doing it, and that gives you a chance to get more exotickle into the toolkit.
There's some comparable work with this DB-like interface, but I think it's only for a very specific.
Frank Bergman is doing.
But Frank, I mean, you can never tell from Frank what will come back to the community or not. And so I don't find myself wanting to rely on, anything he's working on with you people, I know you'll give back to the community. Okay. Likewise, these people, I know they'll give back, give back to the community. Frank, I mean, he hasn't even been coming to OCT meetings. You know, I mean, he came to one to ask when it was. So, I mean, it would be, I would love to.
But there is another.
There is another one which has a DB-like interface.
Right.
So you are basically querying as if it was a data.
No, but that's ours.
That's yours.
That's ours.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But
okay.
That is just on top of
SOAP. Yes. TSOAP, I think.
Sorry?
TSOAP.
Yeah, you did that for specific stuff.
But you're not exposing the service. It's just querying.
Yes, just replicating. We basically send the query to our server. It is run and return in the same form that it
So you have a listener as well.
Yeah, and you get it. So you can do it. So for instance, you can have like the same implementation for another database, even if you have a driver.
Okay. Yes, I think.
So that's
a more generic solution, I think, the one.
Yeah, you had a specific.
We have a specific needs.
Yes,
within the university.
Yeah, it was very specific.
Yeah.
This is a general.
No, and I think having a robust generalized framework.
There is another one. The one from Jay.
Which again, we haven't seen.
Tom Jackson is doing it. Yeah. He already.
Okay, so we'll
somewhere.
Have six different ways.
Is it a client or the server as well?
Both. Apparently, it's both. Yeah, and
but he's only doing it for Oracle.
No, it is done on top of.
Done on top of the DBA on top.
On top AOL server.
Oh, that one. That.
It is not tied to.
It's not OpenACS at all.
Right.
Okay.
Tom Jackson's thing. Yes. Is he the guy doing that?
Yeah, Tom Jackson.
Yeah, for United Way.
So.
I haven't looked at it.
But so far it has been very long.
Right.
Because they say that.
It's been a year, yeah.
Yeah,
Tom,
yeah.
I mean, I like Tom a lot, but Tom also tends to be very eccentric in terms of. I mean, it would be nice. I mean, if we're going to be doing more and more in ExoTickle, right? I mean, it would be nice to have something that fits kind of a paradigm that we're growing towards.
It's built on service contracts, and .lab is practically built on top of service contracts.
Yes, right.
I mean, Stefan went to the foundations, which is, in my opinion, is excellent, the work that Stefan did. And,
because it's based on your work.
Because he.
No. I'm talking only for the part.
Well, the service contract implementation did leave a lot of room for improvement. You must admit.
Yeah, pretty much. I might be right.
Yeah. I was gonna say I think from what I recall, Frank Bergen writing on the forums, the thing that he was talking about is different than what these guys are doing anyway. So
okay, I haven't paid attention.
I don't think it would be a replacement for the service contract ExoTickle stuff that they were talking about, if I remember him correctly. Because I thought he was basically just going to provide a way to have remote services interface directly to like the SQL level in the database, which I could certainly see being useful. But that's a different thing. Right?
That's a different. Yeah, that's a narrow. That's another narrow thing.
Right.
I mean, it's very broad as far as it can be any SQL query or any SQL statement, but completely different from a general SOAP based or whatever.
Right. So it sounds like he was trying to solve a specific problem also.
I'm not sure. I'm vague, but all I'm saying, like, I think it would be a bonus if he contributes that back, but it doesn't sound like it's really a direct competitor.
What
I was going to say is that if you see the demo of the work that Stefan did,
which
fits very nicely
the
something that you in the same way that you are binding services to service contracts, you can see actually services, and it's very natural.
And that's the way it should be done. I mean, it's like basically you should be binding the external to the internal, you know, that's
still developing in the same way.
No comments, no documentation. I said no documentation.
You have seen this dog at the dog. Everyone leaves plug.
So it kind of sounds, I mean, you guys are probably going to be talking a lot, is my guess, right?
Yeah.
But so it sounds to me like one of the things we can expect then from the EU for all, plus what you guys are working in, is at least an attempt at a generalized framework for web services, which
is that one of the main is that one of the main focuses of what you're trying to?
Yeah.
We need it. Basically,
and that's the whole key to interoperability.
So it's accessible. How does that relate to accessibility? Is that
separate?
It's going to support services, which of course are going to be accessible, are even focused on accessibility issues. But the basic idea is to have an architecture, an open architecture, which itself supports web services for this type of issues. Should be open.
It may be general, talking to Moodle, it may be talking to .learn.
Should interoperate with Moodle and .learn.
Should be human and machine accessible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
We hope.
Yeah, but that's
both, yeah. Yeah, don't laugh at it.
Well, it kind of sounds like the timing. I mean, if you have 9 months and you're a month
first
or two away for prototype, that. Pardon?
For the first one.
For the first prototype.
Prototype, yeah. Yeah, people
it's,
always
it's,
say, no
he's
problem.
He's just trying to make it perfect. I mean,
no
I've
problem.
Seen it working since this summer.
People
have learned it like 10 times by now, so I would call it prototype.
The idea, let me also stress this, you know, is that the rest of the developers of the breed don't want to be so much involved in .learn, of course.
Yes,
the
platform.
And so our idea is to sell them that we are always general, okay, in our approach.
Mm-hmm.
Focused. That's why we are using two different learning platforms. That's why our architecture, is going to be open, flexible, extensible, and so forth. That's why using general approaches. Just to clarify why we have to take that into account.
I think we kind of are done with that then.
Yeah, so what else is on the list? I have some.
Well, there's a list over there.
Okay.
I guess the thing that comes up, I mean, you people are doing more and more work, obviously, in ExoTickle, and ExoTickle's in the core now. And we're obviously not going to be able to say a whole lot in a meeting right now, but we need to start thinking about how we're going to basically kind of be moving down a path that allows us to basically be to start adopting the object-oriented paradigm that ExoTickle brings into the picture. And for a long time, though, living alongside a lot of legacy code that already exists, right? And so I want to get some sense for how you guys feel that path might look like, what you think that path might look like. And I'm sure some of the other people here, I know Lee's interested, I suspect Dave's interested. So maybe you could just start out by maybe, in your mind, what you've been thinking the next year or something looks like in terms of what you guys are going to be working on, but also how you think that might impact where .learn might go. Because another thing I think we all agree on is that, in some sense, .learn is quite broken, right, in terms of its monolithic structure and the fact that it's just so narrowly defined in a way that is difficult to break up and it's really inflexible, right? So, do you care to talk for a few minutes?
Sure.
Do you want to stand up here?
I mean, one thing is, you wrote here ExoTickle versus OpenACS.learn. This versus means you have two choices and you have to save them.
No, it means this. But I don't really mean that.
It meets, more or less.
Yes.
I mean, I also agree. I mean, we have the situation that we have a large site which depends on a lot of OpenACS services, and we have the same problem as everybody else. If we change the system radically, we have a lot of users which are affected by this. Therefore, we are somewhat aware of the problem that a deep change can generate. And one thing is, which I've learned in my attempt so far, is that it
doesn't make sense to take the same code and code the same thing again simply in exotickle. It will get faster by this, but the code which is coming out will look somehow weird, because
yes,
with an object-oriented mind of view, you would make certain things differently. For example, with this ADCOM, which is very central and very basic, and it can be made 10 times faster, but still it's not a code that I would show somebody else to say, well, you see, object-oriented is better because it's really is trying to do all of the strange things that legacy code had to be, which nobody cares about because it's simply doing its work and so forth. So,
well,
far, so the big question is there: how to refactor the system, or how to find a way to rebuild a part of the thing on a kind of a new infrastructure while keeping the old infrastructure working and provide some kind of interface.
When I say versus up here, in a sense I'm talking about the two paradigms, okay, and how do you basically start moving more and more towards the more natural object-oriented paradigm that exotickle brings to the table without blowing everything to pieces and starting over, okay? Because none of us here can afford to do that. But, except maybe him. As long as you offer to convert everybody's site for free in 1 month, a lot of people would probably join you. But no, but serious. I mean, so that is, I think we and I are in agreement as to like what the basic problem is. And then my question is, you know, in your mind, since you have been thinking about this some, what does that path look like?
I think there are different forces there. There's another thing which is more or less OpenACS versus .learn at the same place.
Yes.
And I think it is structurally for a conversion the even bigger problem than how to recode the thing in object-oriented manner.
I mean, right, yeah.
When you say convert, you mean update, or what do you mean by conversion?
I mean the
movement of one.
How the portal works and all of the packages are arranged. And there are a lot of things which are
blowing up
unnecessarily complex and a lot of redundant code everywhere, and it's something which is not nicely designed. But
right,
if you start to change this, then every .learn is affected horribly by this. And it's a major release change there. And there, I don't know, you have 200 packages there, and I guess at least, let's say, 70 of these packages are somewhat .learn related, and therefore it was a work of doing it. It's not just a question of getting one component done right, but one has to go through all of these packages and try to do some conversion at this point.
Right. I mean, I saw something similar. Don had started on a rewrite of portals, or almost finished the rewrite of portals, and using subsites through Sloan, and then the issue was upgrade.
Yeah, and also I did, I mean, I knew that if I blew up the portal system and redesigned it in a way that I thought would be more natural, you know, that I would never be able to get upgrades to work. So I sort of compromised and did kind of as much as I thought I could do and still make upgrades work, and then I found out that upgrading was still like a lot more difficult than I had first thought it was going to be. And so I just kind of gave up because I wasn't being pushed by anybody. I mean, that you people have been using the portal package that is no longer dependent on .learn, and some other people have been using it as well. A Greenpeace project did. But, then I guess this kind of leads to another question. If we were to basically sit down and redesign how we wanted .learn to look, or the OpenACS platform to have a more natural way of adding vertical applications like .learn, you still then have the problem of the existing people using .learn and what becomes of them, you know. Even the ones using Oracle.
It's a migration problem.
It's a migration, not an upgrade.
You're refactoring your platform and improving the framework which supports more innovative services, because we will reach that point at maybe not in a year, but maybe 2 or 3 years, and you have to compete with other frameworks at some point. The problem is migrating the data. It's not refactoring. There are better solutions for the services provided, let's say, by the platform. The problem is who's going to do the migration.
Right,
so,
and that's
it needs some planning, deciding on which parts of contributing the code and then starting working on the migration.
And that's essentially what, you know, it would be a migration, definitely. I mean, we would just give up on the notion of inside upgrade.
Just backward compatibility would not do it forever.
Right.
It would do it for small pieces of code, but not forever.
Yes,
Before that happens, or maybe as part of that happening, would it make sense to hash out an incremental refinement plan to see if there is to see if it looks like there's a path from now, some arbitrary point in the future, that goes through these changes without abruptly, you know, ripping up the .learn community?
Well, I think this is sort of like the first discussion as to what that might look like.
It's
okay,
too early to talk about changing to exotic or everything.
We're not talking
like ExoWiki and keep it doing. Talking about migrating everything doesn't make sense at this point.
Even today, for example, the talk by Monitor, I don't know if many saw it, but it was the example that Caroline and Dave, that you guys worked on, where you're using ExoWiki, basically the stuff you've documented, where you have, you know, includes, and you have a portal that's just basically a page for each person. You could run something like that in parallel and have .learn next to it, and then just have it on a different node, site node, something along those lines.
Just a quick clarification. I was not talking about refactoring everything and migrating everything. I was just talking for, let's say, for the architectural hotspots that you need to change. It's not a complete migration of everything, just it's a stepwise refinement of pieces of the platform. Just to make it better, more flexible, to provide the services that the developer needs to cope with the competition.
Anima, then Andrew.
I see two different ways we could, you know, handle the problem. The one would be, for instance, you let run out the existing courses, and any new course is based on whatever the new architecture is. Then maybe this would work for some institutions.
Yeah, that would work for us.
That's actually Trump.
And that was what I was trying to communicate.
And the other thing is, I've seen quite a lot of work on this data manager stuff, where, you know, basically in each community you can, I don't know, for every package that exists, you have some mean of exporting or importing data. Like, this would be also an approach, you know, why I don't think we need to write upgrade scripts.
I think when we talk about migrating, for me, that explicitly means exporting and importing. Okay,
right.
So I think we're on the same path.
But
if you have some way of exporting the data, let's say in a class or a community in XML, then
exactly, that's what
I think we should decide for some kind of approach where we have, like, on the one hand, you let run out existing courses, and everything that is new is built on new functionality, new architecture we have.
Right, so one step, like an incremental step, is, you know, something we need is a way for a course administrator to back up their course, their entire course.
Yeah.
So we would work on a course backup thing that uses an XML structure, some IMS course definition, and then be able to import that again, and then import it into the parallel new version of .learn that's running on the same server.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah, I think people have done similar things in the past. My question was just, well, a big part of what you folks are talking about, I think, here is how to take ExoPickle and then integrate it in OpenECS for the purpose of, to use it to fix what you see as, you know, the biggest problems of the current toolkit in .LRN. So my question, both for folks like Don, who know the most about what the current problems are, and for all the guys who, you know all about ExoPickle, is, what's the sort of ratio that you see between how much of this is refactoring code versus how much is, like, changing the way that the database is, just to give us a feel kind of for where the biggest change is?
Actually, in some sense, it's almost like two different things we're talking about in parallel, okay? There's... one of the nice things about the OpenACS toolkit is its modularity. I mean, the fact that you can take pieces and plug them in here and there when things are done right. Okay, that's kind of an ideal. That's not really been reached, but I mean, there is this kind of notion of, you know, that you have pieces that you can kind of put together. .learn is just the opposite. I mean, .learn is like, I am a learning management system, and everybody that plays with .learn, you know, there's this tendency for things to get locked into .learn. We have packages now that require .learn that would be nice to be able to use outside .learn. I mean, a client I'm doing this distance learning stuff for starting next week, I don't really need .learn. I just need the lore stuff. And if I could just use it standalone, I wouldn't bother with .learn. I would just take my version of the portals package and build them a site. Okay, but I probably don't have time to break the dependency on .learn in the lore stuff, because it all depends on .learn classes and all this kind of stuff. So so that's with .learn specifically, there's this kind of like monolithic Berlin Wall kind of like software structure that is really just very different than what we've got, the paradigm the toolkit was built on, okay? The other side of the exotypical stuff, at least is the way I see it, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is... But we have a lot of things in the toolkit that you can do like 8 different ways because nobody has ever figured out the right way to do things. Okay, there's a lot of stuff, and we have this object, somewhat object-oriented, you know, data model, somewhat. And there's a dissonance between, you know, the implementation level and what the data model is trying to say, and exotypical in many ways. I mean, an object-oriented language, exotypical or whatever, is a better match in some ways for doing that. And so I think there are ways we can just basically do things better without breaking the data model. And exotypical is faster too, which doesn't hurt anything, but that's not a major issue for most of us. I mean, most of us don't have the third largest learning management system in the world.
The most intensive. Most intensively used.
But also, I mean, they're just doing a lot of interesting things. And also, you know, the ability for reuse seems a lot higher with, you know, my own personal exposure to doing, working in object-oriented languages in the past. Certainly, compared to the way we do things now. So, I mean, there's all sorts of interesting possibilities around that path. But the whole architectural .learn thing, I mean, that's one very specific problem that...
But this is monolithic.
Pardon?
Monolithic.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of separate from, you know, even if we were just going to basically stick in pure tickle and basically do things the way we're doing, a procedurally oriented, you know, approach on top of the somewhat object-oriented data model, we'd still want to blow up .learn. Okay. But what kind of things, I mean, over the next year, what will you guys be working on? That, or do you know?
Come sleep to.
Do you just wake up in the morning and...
Currently, I'm fighting with the Tiki Core community
What is the status there? Because that is actually, I mean, that was one barrier I had towards, you know, in terms of my willingness to allow exoparticle to be part of the core was, you know, people keep yelling at us, it needs to be easier to install, and it's like, but we need to make people compile more pieces. So, I mean, that would be really great. Is it going to go into Tickle?
There are two competing tips now, how to do something exotically native or exotically like into the core, and actually the situation is currently some kind of a bad situation, but it will resolve, I think, we will change in some direction within the next, I think, 40 days, 3 weeks.
Okay.
And, it's a long issue, and I don't think it's really important now to go into detail what had happened, why here, in the history, and a lot of personal things here were up to a certain point there's a not invented here syndrome.
Yes.
Here from,
yeah.
Which is also playing a role, therefore it's a complicated issue, but I don't think that compiling exotypical is a big issue, and
it's political more than technical, yes.
Yeah, it's not really also a big design decision at this point. But I think for
what I think what's needed is also for the work of Caroline is doing is, I mean, something. I think it's certainly a possible approach to see as a page with portraits, to have portraits as smaller units which are usable, mm-hmm. like an extra wiki page, and this thing can be arranged in various ways, maybe with some mesh up style as you are doing it, but for getting accessibility this won't work because I have the feeling that this mesh up won't work, therefore it needs a fallback situation. Mm-hmm. But also that's not very complicated because you can make a page including the stuff, and it's also possible to make a page manager which might generate this page which is afterwards rendered. And therefore I see here this is one issue is the thing of the layout mechanism, and I think this is not too complicated to solve, and I think going into the Ajax world needs anyhow something which is a non-Ajax version, and I also think that ExoWiki is here quite useful for achieving this.
And that actually, that's one area, I mean, first of all, of course, you know, one of the traditional places where the object oriented paradigm has taken hold originally is the whole graphics/Windows management kind of, and, you know, we look at the portal or page layout manager, it's just a simple two-dimensional non-overlapping Windows manager, essentially, and so that, you know...
And most of the work is done by the CSS anyhow.
CSS is done by the browser, driven by CSS, so that would be natural, and if we're going to basically be talking about, we have been talking about, you know, packages, we ought to be able to provide alternate UIs to packages, and now Ajax, obviously, is... strengthens that case, and the fact we have to be able to fall back to a non-Ajax UI. So, in my mind, I guess the object paradigm actually fits that quite well. That might be an area to look at, to concentrate on.
But the next issue is afterwards how to get these personalized pages. I mean, just the best way of getting the forums of a user or the calendar entries of a user and all these things. We have this already, but in order to sort this out from the normal community business in .learn, and we want to move this to subsites, this is the more complex issue, but I think it could be done also in a side-by-side way. It's not necessary to change everything in one step, but do it simply in smaller pieces. But I think this is a rather big point where one has to think about this to design it clearly. This is something which is not conceptually simple to do it in the right way and to do it in an efficient way. And this is, I think, the important thing, because if you look at the way how a calendar portlet gets its entries from, in our case, 30,000 calendars,
it's horrible.
It's just a wonder how fast it works.
But that's not an issue of page layout, though.
No, not at all. It's a different issue.
Page layout is a totally separate issue. Okay.
But I think this issue is it needs more refactoring from the code, and also rethinking how what's a package in OpenACS and what's a community from the point of view of a community system. I think that's because the package doesn't have any notion of a community.
Yes, right, yeah.
And maybe it's good also to have this notion of community or subsite, whatever, also on the package level, and have there some means of providing efficient ways to access entries of a certain package for a community in a localized way, not on top of everything.
Quick interruption. If anybody has anything in the room, it would be best if you brought it here.
People are doing that. Maybe this is a dumb question, but just like a basic templated page that someone would stick just to, you know, semi-static content. How does that? What's the use case of that compared to using ExoWiki for a page? I mean, are they for the same thing, or are they using for different things?
Well, what? I mean, personally, I've thought for quite a long time that, the basic way we build a site, I mean, the page rendering ought to be part of that, okay? And that's, more often than not, it'd be nice to be able to just... We tend to build relatively complex sites, right? And we like having... it'd be nice to be able to, for instance, the Ajax drag-and-drop portal stuff, you know? I mean, it'd be nice to have that basically be a fundamental thing, like my main site, and associated, I have page rendering is part of that. It'd be nice to have it be very lightweight so that if all I have is, like, an index page with plain text on it, that, you know, there's very minimal overhead to that, but it would be nice then to be able to, you know, basically... define a more complex page set. And maybe you start talking about things like defining page flow and stuff like that also, though across the package boundary that would get like extremely complex. I mean, that's a really difficult problem. But you know, where .learn got it wrong is it's tied all that into like this .learn structure, you know, that and so I don't know, I guess I have had some similar thoughts, you know, that I would like to see if at some point if page rendering and page layout ought to be a very fundamental property of the system. And the whole community kind of thing, I mean Dollar tried to solve that, but it did it in such a rigid way. And it solved it using some basic tools that already exist, you know, like groups and relational segments and stuff. So that, I mean, to me, that's a direction that would make sense to be going towards. It would have to live parallel with .learn for, you know, because blowing up .learn and recasting .learn into that kind of framework would be a large project. And even migrating, I mean, it would be expensive for sites to do that. But that's similar to the kind of direction I've been thinking of. I just haven't really seen any way to get there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's two fundamental questions that have to be asked. And one is where that kind of development would take place, as opposed to just going on with Trump, the current Trump, which, you know, if it's going to be a long-term development, it's not something you can really do that way. And the other is how can you work through the things that people think need to be done in a methodical manner.
Right. Well, one thing, I mean, you guys have been thinking quite a bit about design. And, you know, you came to me like 3 years ago or something, I was like, everything's breaking way too much for us to even think about stuff like that right now. Okay. But things are like, you know, in terms of like our core set of packages and stuff, things are a lot more stable now. And on the other hand, we don't have the resources we did before. But I think, I mean, at this point, I don't see how we could do anything other than over the next few months, you know, be talking maybe about some design ideas, like, you know, how that might look in the future if resources come available to do it, you know, unless you guys have resources just to jump in and start doing it, you know. So I think that now we could talk about would be kind of like, this is what we would like it to look like if we had the resources to do it, and then think about resources later. I mean, that's, I don't see that we have resources to do anything beyond that. Walk into New York, daily living existence of servicing clients and getting paid and stuff like that.
This is kind of my suggestion. I think I wouldn't bother too much about learn, because this is it's just an endless discussion of how we could know whatever we can do with the learn to make it more open ACS like, or according to the principles. I think what would be more interesting is that, let's say, the OpenACS core team has a kind of vision which how the future of OpenACS combined with Exotico could look like. And of course, taking into account what resources we have or not, but if the community has a clear vision which about the direction, then we can all jointly work together and bring it into reality. And then also at some point we can think of, okay, how do we handle the migration,
right, yeah,
of learned data, and is it really so important? Because I personally believe that, I don't know, I can only speak for Mannheim. Most of the applications being used currently is the most important data that you would migrate is just the memberships of communities on the one hand, and then the files being uploaded. The rest, who cares about a news or I don't know, botnets being sent in the past, or
right.
I don't know. Maybe,
like, 5-year-old news, you don't really care about all that
and
much.
And also, maybe some institutions, they are producing courses after courses, you know, once they're over.
Right.
And nobody cares about it. We have to see in a specific situation how to deal with it. Every institution has basically to decide what information has to be migrated or not. But I don't think it's a big issue.
But the thing is, the idea is that if a big installation
even one says that this is a big problem for us, we just can't say we'll not go through that path. But
I'm not saying that.
Yes, okay.
What I'm trying to say is I think that the migration of the data, I don't believe it will be too difficult.
Yeah, it's not the main problem.
Yes, and also I think
this meeting is the most important step.
I can see even at some point you turn the trigger and every new course that is created with a new architecture. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that.
I think the issue from the perspective of .LRN is not necessarily the specific code that's in place right now for .LRN, but the things that people are less happy about in the way that .LRN do them are things that they had to do because OpenACS prior to that is just a toolkit. You have the certain things you have to do to make it a complete site beyond what it does already. And .LRN had to pick a way to do it, but faced with that choice, instead of architecting some super generic system that will satisfy everybody, they just did it whatever way they had to do it, which in some cases meant hard coding in if.lrn is installed type statements and other packages and things like that. So the question from the .lrn perspective as opposed to the exotechnical perspective is how do we now do those things that need to be done to get a complete site, but in a way that is not going to hard code everybody to work on them exactly the same.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. What we basically need is a clear vision of the core team, how the future would look like with Exotico, and what we would need to change, and what resources maybe or time would be needed to do that. But if there is a clear vision in the community, then I think.
Well, that goes back to my first question. It's like, you know, what kind of path did you see? Because Gustav is on the OCT after all, you know. So, I asked that question in a sense. I am kind of asking, it's not something we can answer today. You know, yeah. I'm just trying to get this out on the table so you can really start thinking more about the future.
I think one of the things that we need to do from the .LRN perspective is figure out what things. The bits of code that we don't like, what are they actually achieving? What are they doing that needs to be done? And therefore, once we've identified the bits that need to be done that there isn't a good solution for yet, then the OCT can start saying, well, maybe we should do it this way. We can sort of propose other alternative solutions. Because right now, I don't think everybody knows that there is that code lying in there that hard codes things to the way .LRN does it, but no one has sat down and actually tried to list what jobs those bits of code doing. In terms of, like you were saying, with the page flow and the layout and that kind of stuff, that you need to think of generic solutions for.
It doesn't make sense to make a long list of items and say I don't like this one and this one and this one because it's...
I mean, like examples, we talk about communities. Okay? I mean, .LRN has a certain paradigm for how it structures communities, and that has trickled down into some of the packages, unfortunately.
We have groups, we have parties, we have...
I don't mean listing.
But .LRN has a certain way of using them that sort of defines a structure of communities that then that structure the communities, which is more restrictive than the more general group part, model, it has leaked down into some of the packages. Okay.
I don't think it's so necessary to go too much into detail to learn. I think it's a lesson learned. I think we have just to see what did the learn bring, which would make things easier, or what is it that is so nice about the learn from the user perspective? What we would like to have in OpenACS somehow supported, and the rest forget about it.
My impression. I'm not a .LRN user. I'm an OpenACS user, but the problem is that the way that .LRN is monolithic, as I like to say, affects the things that can change in the platform. That's my impression. So I think we need to start from there and figure out the.
I think Andrew said it right. He said we basically would be figuring out what assumptions .LRN is making.
Right.
That's what the code's doing.
And I think, in reality, from the point of view of just sitting down and doing something that's not quite as bad, just dot learn. That's not a huge problem. I mean, it's the migration problem is still going to be a big problem for people.
The migration, slowly, almost wrote that XML export and re-import for some. Unfortunately, we found a way that was much cheaper to do it.
You just opened up a handle in each database and slurp stuff back and forth, or?
No, actually, we found a program that actually translated the Oracle to Postgres.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
No, it actually like went into Oracle, selected from every table, and wrote the SQL script in Postgres syntax. Oh. And we just loaded that up into Postgres.
What's you?
It's called the R2PG, the Perl script.
So that just turned out to be so much cheaper.
And then we just had to write something to export all the.
Yeah, okay.
That's
basically the same principle, though. You pull it out, you massage it, and you push it back in.
Right. But someone else did the programming for us. But they're going to eventually go to Sakai or somebody else did, so we're going to get those export scripts.
There's also something which is called Kettle, which is an open source project, which basically is a UI interface where you can go and say, this is my data source, do this with it, and put it there. So I really don't think migration is a big deal. And I mean, of course, you have to do it, but there are very excellent good tools you can use for this purpose. So I think the more important question is, what is it that Learn has that we would like to have in OpenACS, and then the rest, forget about it.
Yeah, how would you replicate everything you and Learn on the sub-sites?
And get rid of half of the things that .learn does. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we don't need that's in .learn. I mean, it would be a good chance to clean up.
Like, really, two things. One is the layout of the homepage for the community, whichever you want to call it, portal, whatever you want to call it. And the other thing is managing community membership,
and the administration
right
pages of the individual portals.
Right, you're talking about the other end, like where you have the layout of the administration of all the packages in the community.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like the public side.
And then just chipping away at the wall, little things like Lord, you know, why does it require .learn? It really shouldn't. It's probably not that big a job.
It's probably not. Just, yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, it's kind of getting late. What else do we... Oh, wait, okay, yeah. Maybe not GCMS. But... I don't know, I just kind of... I mean, want to get some stuff out on the table here so we start talking, you know, so we don't ever really... Most of our meetings, none of our meetings, I don't think we've ever sat down and talked much about the future, except for that one Copenhagen meeting we kind of did, but that was all focused totally on .learn as it was then, and the fact that, you know, the first release of .learn was pretty much unusable, and we were just focused on trying to get something that would actually work. So, I think we're just at this point now where a lot of interesting new stuff's happening, and we should start thinking about what the next year looks like, you know, and not today. Maybe after a couple more beers, I don't know. But
I mean, one thing we have been doing is trying to continue with ExoWiki and to find ways of getting even more functionality there combined in a flexible way. And maybe at some time we get to the place where we can really get a better handle on how many tools are there really needed for doing something for the complex, because I think in terms of we have too many packages in
For example, yeah. Policies should be integrated by with the site, for example.
I'm sorry?
These access policies, for example, it's a good example of what could move into the framework, into the platform.
Yeah, some of the stuff
we're going in. Some other simple stuff, like the sitemap could have something like a page directory so that you won't have to create 10 packages for different aspects of an application. For example,
right.
You won't have blogger for user, the blogger shared or whatever.
Right, right.
So you have a page directory there, which is it's a two-minute change. But
some of the stuff, like the access stuff, the page rendering stuff, I mean, that in the current structure, a lot of that stuff's logical.
The existing installations, if you improve these things, you can improve them without, let's say, giving trouble to the current users. And when you are ready for the big step for making the radical change,
I was just going to say a lot of that stuff logically lands in ACS subsite, the way things are structured now, the way the toolkit is structured now, that as opposed to an application package. But anyway, I'm about.
There's something else I think you would like to say, because this last couple of years we've been always discussing, you know, the .learn community and the open access community, which basically should be only one community. And the whole thing happened actually maybe because, like, at some point there were decisions made on how the .learn should be developed, and things have been encoded in different packages which were not quite right or not nice design, which led ultimately to this .learn community and OpenACS community thing. But I think if basically I'm just saying what I just said, if we have a clear vision on how what we should do with OpenACS and improve it and integrate Exotical in those areas where it is appropriate and needed, then both communities will one.
And there's also the governance stuff that's going on right now. We're basically, the board is it's up. There was voting that was going on. We're hoping to announce, this week. In any case, there's going to be a new group of people that are actually elected, not just selected. And there's an opportunity for massive change. We have the leadership team now. Over the past year, we've actually been meeting in the .learn IRC meetings.
The .learn board, or however you call it, it should just be a branding, product management thing.
And then also trying to find funding to support whatever the vision is.
You're not the first one to say that. I've heard several, I forget who, but I know I've heard several people say the exact same thing over several years. Like, we want not to be a branding of a vertical kind of thing, not
Yeah, I mean, that's actually from the beginning. I mean, it just, the separation kind of happened historically by accident, because .learn development kind of took place over in a corner funded by Sloan, and they just kind of went their own way. But I don't think there's any disagreement with what you're saying.
Sorry?
I don't think there's any real fundamental disagreement with what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying disagreement, but I think it's about, what I'm trying to say is it's all about the OpenACS toolkit. And then There have been things done in OpenACS, which I think, just from the concepts or ideas, it's OpenACS should benefit from. But we don't need to think too much about, well, what shall we do then with .learn. Because if the toolkit can support it, we just migrate the data. That's all.
You're volunteering to do it for everybody.
Actually, the migration thing, the scripts, the thing is, I would say yes, I would volunteer in those data which we need to migrate.
That's fair.
But basically, I mean, everybody else can add their part to it. If somebody else thinks, okay, we are using, this blocks thing in the communities and we would like to migrate, well, then they just add this little script to this.
What do you specifically mean by migrating?
I mean, people are
doing these things for customer projects or whatever, and I think it's very nice that we are talking about these things, so that we have a unifying solution for that.
One tool I can really recommend is this Kettle. It's called Kettle. It's like cow. What you say is, okay, this is my table, take it, the data, whatever constraints you have on it, do this and that with it and put it in this table. So it's very easy to migrate, and the scripts you have written, you can store it and you can share it in the community.
Okay.
They might be keep like a strategy, not here, but we'll say, like, people working on it work on a strategy together, and as people do.
We're a long ways from having to worry about it, though. Probably a couple years.
Where are we? Before we can replicate everything we can do in .learn in subsites.
Right.
And that's the first step. And then once we've done that, I think the migration is happening. There's a bunch of different ways to do migration.
And it's probably going to be a couple of years, and by then there won't be any Oracle people to worry about it anyway.
Carol, I don't go migrate alone.
So where did Carl go? Carl actually had a suggestion for a meeting place for people who might want to go out and have a beer or maybe dinner.
I mean, it would be nice to have the whole city, you know, I don't know, announced, let's say, in a half a year, some kind of a vision that where the two people go. I think that this we should define some kind of milestone.
I'm getting closer. I feel more comfortable with that. I mean, we finally have a release that passes all the core automated tests that were written 2 years ago and showed that everything was broken. You know. Yeah. So my thing has always been prioritizing what's important. You know, it's like now I'm sort of feeling like we're actually doing a better job on some basic things. So starting to think about more ambitious things. I mean, maybe we can start doing that now.
I just wanted to make one comment. I mean, I agree completely with what you just said. I mean, that would be really nice to see as maybe an example or a side effect related to that. So especially since Scott keeps dropping comments about Oracle users. You know, I'm one of those lurking Oracle users, sort of. And as somebody who doesn't really spend much time using OpenACS, although I probably, you know, would if I was rich and retired and had nothing else to do with my time, but that kind of vision or something like that, and you're talking about for design, but you can also apply that vision to maintenance and support tests too, where if I see something where the OCT or someone else in a position of authority says, hey, look, we got to have X, Y, and Z, and by a certain deadline, it's much easier for someone like me who's, you know, I only spend 5% of my time doing OpenACS stuff, but if I see that list, I can take that to my boss and say, hey, look, you know, we should write a check for bullet three. But if instead there's nobody giving me that bullet list and I have to sort of guess what it might be on my own and go talk to people and ask them, oh, who should I, you know, who could maybe do something, then it's much more nebulous and it's harder for, I mean, I'm assuming I'm not the only person in this case. I mean, hey, I'm lazy, right?
I totally concur. I mean,
I agree with that, yeah.
Same thing with, like, the conference. If we, you know, if we say, okay, we were doing this and we approach people, we have a project. We have an elected board and we have a team, the elected team, then things will happen. We just have to have the projects defined. We have to have at least a path defined.
Yep, that's it. That was my comment.
So I agree.
Okay, so you had a suggestion for a place to go?
Yes.
And if we show up, we just basically take over the whole place. I imagine.
Bring your IDs with you.
Take your IDs with you. Children are not allowed. That was funny.
That's mine.
Okay, everybody pay attention. Okay,
listen up.
That's yours.
No, it's, is it?
No, I think.
Oh, yeah, there's one.
Yeah. Anyone has any ideas for the website?
Bring it over here.
Oh, you're that Ryan.
Yes.
I had not made the connection.
Okay.
It's nice to meet you. Should we have a vote on the dog? Okay, everybody who likes the dog, raise their hand.
Everybody who likes the dog, raise their hand.
Everybody who likes the dog. You like the dog.
I have a dog. If you don't, Alex, you can photograph Max.
How many people don't like the dog? Oh.
So,
how many people don't care? Okay.
No, but it's Alex. Important.
It is.
Yeah.
So, just things to replace Alex.
What do you think the cost of for whoever would just start with a proposal and then have a starting point for the
as far as having the internet.
Green line.
And it is actually in the station lobby. Oh, okay, it's near the station. Is that a map of the subway?
It's a map of... There is a Prudential.
I'm sorry?
Prudential. How would you say that?
That's Prudential, yeah.
Yeah.
The North Station is down Boylston. Crossing Silver, Arlington, so there's a passport, that's horrible, man.
Yeah.
North Station, there we go, it's very near the North End.
There's
a, see, here's the North Station, here's the North End.
Mm-hmm.